Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. We're so glad you've joined us today. We've got a great program for you today. In fact, we're in the middle of a series. We're looking at God's timing, God's plan, God's man. And today we're looking at God's direction. So we're looking at God's direction for your life, and we're going to share with you some stories and some scriptures about how you can find out God's direction for your life. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that neat?
Amen. You know, I've come to realize that most Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians would agree that God's plan for their life is the best one. But which direction do we go in? How can we know? How can we be directed by God? How can we know His will?
That's good.
I think sometimes that's really what hangs people up.
They want to know what direction to go in.
How do we discern it?
And because of that, sometimes they don't do anything because they're worried about going in the wrong direction.
They get paralyzed by fear.
Yeah, right? They go in the wrong direction. So last time we looked at God's plan, and you know the fact that, you know, God's waiting on us more than we wait on God. I'm just waiting on God before I go in any direction. I'm just waiting on God. No, God's waiting on us. He's already provided everything we need. He's already got a good plan for us. Now He's waiting on us to step out in faith and receive it. Grace has already provided it. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's the same direction. What direction is God leading us?
Yeah, man, we looked at that scripture in verse Psalm 37. Mm-hmm. It says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? But how can we get to the crux of discerning God's will? I mean, some things, God's made His mind up, right?
Right?
It's not even a question. God's will for healing is yes, right?
Amen.
God's will for prosperity is yes. But in the everyday walk of life, how can we understand what God's will is? How can we discern what direction He's leading us in?
Like what town should I move to?
Right, in everyday decisions.
Marriage, things like that. There's not a scripture and verse.
What should we have for dinner?
Yeah, I've known people that start. They get, you know, I'm just seeking the Lord on whether I'm going to do this. You know, go to this deal on the weekend or something. It's like mm-hmm. some things you can just go and do, but there's some things, major decisions, you want to seek God's direction on. You want to make sure that you're following God's will on them,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're going to look at today.
Right, and you know, here's the thing: God has given us a brain. We have common sense. We went to college with a lady one time, and she would come in every day. She'd come in an interesting outfit, right, that was completely discombobulated because she wanted a word from the Lord what to wear that moment. And you know what? Some things are God's just, He's given it to you to make a decision on, right? Just wear what you want to wear. You've got the mind of Christ, okay? We don't have to make a big spiritual dilemma over everything. But there are certain things, like Ashley was giving some examples, marriage and jobs and direction, life choices, where we absolutely need God's direction. You know, I believe this really comes out of having our heart prepared. We started to talk about this in our last session, having our heart prepared, being in a life-giving relationship with Jesus. Romans 12 has a lot to say about this, doesn't it?
Could you read that? This is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So I'll stop right there in verse 1. It's the normal Christian life to be submitted to God.
Amen.
It's the normal Christian life, not to have God as an add-on, not to have your relationship with God as just something you do on the weekend or something. Now, I'm guessing...
Not hobby God.
Not hobby God, that's good. Hobby lobby, hobby God. You know, I'm guessing that you're watching this show because you're serious about your relationship with God. You want to go deeper with God mm-hmm. and in the things of God. But you know what? I'm already talking to the people that know this. But just in case there's anyone out there listening that doesn't know this, you know what? The normal Christian life is to be 100% submitted to God. The normal Christian life is to let God live through you and not to just live your normal life and then have God tagged on the weekends or just, you know, have a relationship with God when you're in a crisis. Mm. No, God wants to be part of your life day in, day out, all the time. Small things. Yeah, He wants to be involved with the small things, the big things. So present your body as a living sacrifice is the normal Christian life. And then verse 2, Romans 12, verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. So you know what? It's very easy to be conformed to this world. And this word conformed means to be like poured into a mold. It means being conformed. It means your thinking, your actions just become like the rest of the world. And how many of you know the kingdom of God operates differently from the world's way of operating? You know what? The kingdom of God, it has different ways of doing things. There's different principles. There's different rules of doing things. You know, just some examples in the kingdom of God, you know what? You want to be the leader of all, you've got to be the servant of all. You want to be the first. You got to be last.
Right.
You want to you want to get ahead financially. Then you give.
But love your enemies.
You love your enemies. Someone wrongs you, you forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
This is all different from the world's way of doing
things.
It's upside
down compared to the
world.
So
don't be conformed to the world, because the world has a different way of doing things. The world's ways are upside down. God's ways are right side up.
Mm-hmm.
And God's ways will lead you to success. God's ways are the best ways. God's ways lead you in peace and prosperity, praise God. So don't be conformed to the world's way of doing things, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. This word transformed is talking about being completely changed. In fact, it means metamorpho. I know Greek, you know.
Metamorpho. Wow, that's impressive.
And that's where the word metamorphosis comes
it's
from.
It's harder to say, isn't it?
Metamorphosis. You know, you get the little caterpillars and they crystallize.
They metamorphosize.
And they metamorphosize and they come out as butterflies. That's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but this is the difference.
What was God thinking when he did that?
I think God just did that to show us this verse, to bring this verse alive. It's like the difference between you renewing your mind and not renewing your mind should be that drastic. Before you renew your mind, you could be born again, spirit-filled. In fact, me and my wife were born again, spirit-filled, but we did not have our minds renewed to the truth of God's word.
Mm.
So we were conformed to doing things the world's way.
So we got the world's results.
We got the world's results. And that is like a caterpillar just crawling on the ground. Think about that. It's limited. You're very limited in what you can do. You can only see things from a very lowly perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But when you renew your mind to the word of God, when you start doing things God's way, the difference is like between a caterpillar and a butterfly. Now you're lifted up. Now you can see things from different... Now there's no limits. You can go wherever you want to go. It makes a big difference. So again, back to verse 2. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable and perfect will of God. Now let me say this. I'm going to kill some sacred cows here.
Uh-oh.
You ready for this? They're going to go... some cows are going down. I'm just going to tell you. You are not transformed by prayer or by worship or by these things. Now those things can help.
Right.
Those things can help you.
Absolutely.
And those things are good things. I'm not against any of those things. They're good things. But you know what? All-night prayer meetings alone will not transform you into the way God wants you to be. Those things renewing your mind is what makes the transformation. So once we give our lives to the Lord, we can be born again on our way to heaven, but still getting the world's results. In fact, that's one of the worst ways you can live, is being born again, but being stuck just living the world's way.
Yeah, you've got the worst of both worlds.
God wants our minds renewed. You know, we're spirit, soul, and body. I wasn't going to get into this, but now we're here, right? So we are spirit, soul, and body, and flesh. And you know what? We are a spirit. The real us is a spirit. The real you is a spiritual you.
Mm.
And you possess a soul, and you live in a body. And what happens is, when you get born again, your spirit is completely new. You become
a new creation.
Amen. You become a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
All things are made new. You become one spirit of the Lord. Your spirit is like Jesus on the inside.
Right.
In fact, 1 John 4:4 and 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are you in this world.
Yep.
So spiritually speaking, you're just like Jesus.
Identical.
The issue
is faith.
Identical faith of Jesus. The issue is in your soul. And your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And your soul needs to be renewed. Your soul needs to be renewed from the world's way of doing things, from the old way of doing things.
Mm.
And that's what this verse is talking about. It's talking about renewing your mind. And the way you do that is by getting into the Word of God and planting the seed of the Word into you. And that will change the way you think. That will change the way you do things. Praise God. It will transform you. The Word of God will transform you in the soulish realm. Your spirit's already transformed.
Yeah.
Your spirit, the work's down there when you get born again. But your soul part needs to be transformed.
And your flesh.
And that comes. And the flesh will just follow on.
It just follows on.
The flesh will just follow whatever.
It doesn't do the thinking.
Two against one. Spirit and soul and the flesh will have to follow on. So that's why Romans 12, 1 and 2 is so powerful. You know, it's a verse that we should all be living, and we should be renewing our mind. There's no works involved. It's not like we're trying to, get God's approval or anything like that. God's made up his mind about you. He loves you. He approves of you. But this is going to help you love God more, and this is going to help you live the life God wants you to live. God wants you to live a full, prosperous life. And when you renew your mind to God's word, that's the key to living that life, praise God, here on earth.
And as we renew our mind to the word of God by looking in the word of God, that's when we start to understand what God's will is for our life. That's where we get our direction from, right? This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth and shows us, makes alive to us every good thing that God has put on the inside of us. You know, there's nothing hidden. God is not holding back on us, keeping direction from us, keeping His, you know, His plans from us, right? He wants you to follow Him. He wants you to be led by Him. He's not a secret that He's holding out on you. Verse 13 said, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." Again, this is like it was talking about in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It's talking about renewing your mind to what the Word of God says. That's how we find direction and purpose in our life. "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him." See, the unsaved man cannot understand the things of God. But as you become a believer, you have the mind of Christ. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You can absolutely know what your purpose is in life. You know, I meet a lot of the millennial generation, actually, that have been through college and come out in their mid-20s, you know, into their 30s, and they're flipping burgers in McDonald's. Nothing wrong with that. But these are highly educated people that lack purpose and drive, mm-hmm. because they're still yet to find what God's purpose is for their life. You know, as Christians, we can absolutely know what God's direction is for our life. Right. This is not a mystery. We just need to take some time to get into a relationship to ask Him His opinion on some stuff. So it says, this is a foolishness to Him, for they cannot know them because they are not spiritually discerned. But it goes on to say, but we have the mind of Christ. You see, in the world, people are lost. They have no purpose. They have no direction. But we can be led by the Lord because we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. You know, that's life-changing. But it comes to a point where, you know, if we really are looking for direction, knowing these things, knowing that we have the mind of Christ, that we contain the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, that we are spirit, soul, and body, that we carry the faith of Jesus, that we carry Jesus around with us. Man, we are fully packed and ready to face the world. Amen? No weapon formed against us will prosper. But oftentimes I think we miss direction because we start off listening to God and then we get out so far and it's almost like, I've got it now, God, I can do it by myself. And I do see this a little bit. I don't want to hit on the millennial generation because they're brilliant, but I do see this sometimes when people go through college and we get a lot of natural human knowledge and wisdom fed into us on a continual basis, which is great, but it's only one side of us that knowledge is feeding. That is not feeding our spiritual side. So if we're not careful and if we don't balance our natural wisdom and knowledge that we gain from the world with things that are spiritually discerned, what happens is we start to get off course. We start to lose direction, right? We need to bring those two together. And there's a great example of this in 2 Kings chapter 3. This is the king of Israel. Now, the king of Israel was in a bit of a pickle, okay? So we had Moab, and Moab, they were getting on. They were a bit tetchy, but they were getting on. Well, Moab started to rebel, right? They started to rebel. They stopped playing nice. So the king of Israel, he decided, you know, I need to get my buddies around me. So he went out and he asked a couple of other kings that he knew, hey, come on with me. We're going to go up. We're going to fight. We need to defend ourselves against Moab. He came up with a plan to fix the problem. How many of you have come up with a plan to fix the problem all by yourself? Yeah. And how's that working for you? Right? When God's not in it, we're not going to win it. That's how it goes.
Say that again, Kai. That's a good... You just made that up, didn't you?
I totally did.
Made that up. Right here. You heard it here live. Go ahead.
When God's not in it, we can't win it. All right? That's the fact right there. And let's look at this. So they go out, the three kings, they decide we're going to go out, we're going to have this battle. We're going to defend ourselves against Moab. Well, they get on out there and they realize they're running out of water. That's not good when you've got a whole bunch of men that are going to need water and animals. I mean, it's pretty bad. So in 2 Kings 3 verse 9, it says, "So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days. They went round in circles for 7 days. They had no direction." That's important, right? They had no direction. "And there was no water for the army nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, 'Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab.'" In other words, all is lost. We can't win this battle. This is the Lord's fault. Hang on a second. You did not consult the Lord when you went out to do this. But now it's his fault.
It's amazing you get people like this, and I'm guilty of this sometimes myself. If one thing goes wrong or something doesn't look good, it's like, oh, it's all gone wrong. We're all going to die. We're all going to perish. You know, it happens. You know, they did this to Moses, right? He led him out, and he's like, oh, we were better off being slaves back there. And it's like amazing how, you know, one thing goes wrong, and all of a sudden everyone thinks, that's it.
Yep.
It's all a mess. Everything's going to go. They get to forecasting that everything's going to go wrong.
That's it. So they, you know, when they went out on this journey, they didn't consult God. They weren't following after the Lord. They went out on their own direction. They got lost. They completely lacked purpose and direction. But then suddenly their pickle is God's problem, right?
And for the US viewers, a pickle. I think when you're in a pickle,
translate for me.
Translate. I'm translating into American. So a pickle in England, we say you're in a pickle. That means you're like. What does it mean?
You're in a tough spot.
You're in a tough spot. It's like, yeah, it's like, you know, you're
in a tough
spot. You
got yourself in a right mess.
You're between a rock and a hard place. You're in a tough spot. You've got yourself in a mess. And we also say you've got your knickers in a twist. But,
yeah, I don't think that'll convert.
They don't say that here, no.
Anyway.
A pickle means it's not going great.
Anyway.
It's not going great.
But, you know, eventually they realise that we've got to do something about this or we're all going to die. So Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? Brilliant. It's got that bad. We should pray. Right?
Has it really come to that?
We're going to need a prophet. Go get the prophet because we're going to need to hear from God on that. So one of them went and they found Elisha, okay, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Now, prophets aren't always very friendly. I've come to realize, you know, they can be received differently depending on what's going on. And this was no different with Elisha. He's like, basically says, you know what? I'm not really, you're not all that in a bag of chips, kings. You're really not. But I'm going to seek the Lord for you. So he says, bring me a musician. And then it happened. The musician played and the hand of the Lord came. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Isn't that a weird word? There's no water. You're going to lose against the Moabites there. Your animals are all going to die, but go dig some ditches. Don't you think that's a weird word?
So again, in the logic, in logic, we looked at this in previous lessons. You know, often a word from God doesn't make logical sense. So God may tell you to do something, but logically, it doesn't make sense. Or the circumstances, you know, if you look at the circumstances alone, it doesn't make sense. Why would I be doing this? You know, God told Noah to build an ark and it never rained. God, you know, the word of God here was to build ditches. But that's going to use more energy. You're going to need more water to do that, if you like.
He didn't say dig wells. That would have made sense.
But dig ditches.
Dig ditches.
Makes no sense.
Well, anyway, it goes on in verse 17. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. So there's no water around, and it's not going to rain. But somehow the Lord's going to make rain, the water come from somewhere is what's going on here.
But they had their part to play because they had to dig the ditches.
Again, there's no logic in that, but we've got to dig the dishes.
No ditch digging, no water.
So
how many times has God told us to do something? Can we say, well, that doesn't make logical sense. We don't do it. And therefore nothing happens.
So God's given us a direction and then we don't follow it.
And if we don't follow it, then it doesn't come to pass. And we go, well, there was nothing there. But we have to follow it to start with. We have to do that first step. Mm-hmm. Our part is, God provides everything for us by grace, but our part by faith is to follow his word. And if God tells you to do something and it's God, do it.
Amen.
You know what? Even if it doesn't make sense.
Even if it doesn't make sense. Well, look at verse 18. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord, for he will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. This is really interesting to me. This is a simple matter. You know, sometimes I think we build things up in our imagination. Mm-hmm. We come and we think this is a really big, huge mountain. This is a huge problem. You know, and this had serious consequences. Thousands of men and animals would have died, right? But God's like, this is a simple matter. No rain, no water in a desert, no problem. Dig some ditches. This is a simple matter. Oh, by the way, cherry on the cake, you're also going to defeat the incoming army.
It reminds me of, when our daughter Hannah was sick, you know, we took her to Christian, we spoke to other Christian leaders and pastors, and we told them about the disease she had, and they were all like, oh, this is a big deal. You know, but when we took it to Andrew Womack, his first response was, well, this is a piece of cake to Jesus. And that made the difference. That made our faith come alive because you know what? Compared to God, we're not belittling your problems. We're not belittling your challenges. You know what? But prepared to God, it's a simple matter. You know, it's a small Amen. Thing. It's a piece of cake. So whatever the issue is, compared to God's power and provision, it's a simple matter. And that's what happened here, right? This is a big deal. They needed water. There was no water around. They had an army against them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a simple matter to the Lord. And sometimes instead of, you know, you may have heard it's put this way. Instead of looking at your mountain, you know, and talking to God about your size of your mountain and making the mountain, whatever you focus on is going to get bigger. Whatever you focus on gets magnified. If you focus on your problem, if you focus on your lack, if you focus on what you haven't got or the challenge you're going through, it will seem bigger to you. But if you focus on God and His power and His provision and His answer, that will get bigger. So whatever you focus on gets magnified. So I'm telling you, if you focus on the answer, you focus on God and His provision and all what He's done, praise God, your problems are going to start to power into insignificant, you know, compared to the power of God. So
Amen.
You know what? If you have a problem, focus on the answer, and you're gonna see God's provision come through.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's finish up here what it says. So God's just told them, you know, you're going to dig the ditches and you're going to win and you're even going to defeat the army. Now in verse 20, now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by the way of Edom. Suddenly.
Yeah.
There has been no water. There's been no rain. Doesn't say it was a flood, but suddenly, supernaturally, God provides for them. Now here's the thing. They had to do something very natural. God started by giving them a very natural, a very human direction. Sometimes we can miss the direction of God because what He's asking us to do isn't something that's supernatural. Mm. His part is supernatural, but our part is natural.
That's good, Kelly.
This is really important. We can miss the supernatural because we are looking for something spectacular. Most of the time when God's directing or leading us, it's to start with something that we already have. He's the supernatural God. He adds the super to our natural. But they had to go and dig the ditches first in faith. And then God supernaturally brought the water by the way of Edom.
So God asked us to do something natural mm-hmm. by faith,
mm-hmm.
and that releases the supernatural. I'm thinking of, you know, John chapter 2, water into wine. They run out of wine, a big problem in those days. You know, that would have brought shame on the family who was having the wedding and everything else. But you know what Jesus said? Fill up the water pots with water. Now, that was something very natural, filling up pots full of water. What's that? You know, that's very
natural.
That
doesn't look like it's going to work.
That's very
it?
Natural. But you know what? Then it became wine. You know, feeding the 5,000, they took natural loaves and fish. They told people to sit down. There's so many times this happened. Mm-hmm. Natural things. We were asked to do something natural, which seemingly is insignificant. You know, there's some people are praying. You're out there praying. You're believing God. And God's given you some natural things to do. But because it's so
they're praying for maybe provision.
Yeah, it's so unspectacular.
mm-hmm.
Well, that's not going to make any difference. That's so small and seemingly insignificant. But no, that's the very breakthrough you need. You do those natural things by faith and God can put His super to them. You know, don't despise small beginnings. God will often do something small because, you know, He loves it when we trust in Him. And something small and insignificant can be turned around with God's power, God's super to our natural. You can get the breakthrough you need. And in my life, I've missed it sometimes by not putting my hat into something or not obeying Him in the little things and not seeing that breakthrough. And the times when I have put my hand to something and I have, you know, there's been something very small and insignificant, and I've been obedient in that area, then God can bring the increase and God can bring the breakthrough. So I want to mm-hmm. encourage you. You know, for some of you, there's something very simple. You know what it is? It seems so insignificant. It's so unspectacular. Like Carly was saying, we often miss God because we're looking for the spectacular. You know what? We need to do what God's told us to do, even when it's seemingly unglamorous mm-hmm. or unspectacular.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the end part of this story is not only did the flood come and the water came and it filled up the ditches. The sun rose in the morning. Actually, you can see this, verse 21. And when the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and older were gathered, and they stood at the border. They rose early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water that was in the ditches that they just dug. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. They thought, I mean, in the end, they were drawn into an ambush. They were filled with fear. They were drawn into an ambush because they didn't see water in the ditches. What they saw was the sun's reflection on that water, and it looked like blood.
So it's probably one of those red sky mornings,
yep.
you know, when it's red sky and then it hit the water. So not only did God provide the water for them, so that was their natural provision, you know, mm-hmm. so they were able to drink, it was natural provision, but also God used that as a supernatural deal to deliver them from the army.
Yep.
So it's like a double whammy with God.
And that all came because the kings realized, even though they went off on their own, they had this plan. It was a good plan, right? You know, there's three of us, we're gonna band together and we're gonna join forces and we're gonna go against the Moabites. Not a bad plan. It just wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God's leading. They were not seeking the direction of the Lord. When things started going wrong, they did the right thing in the end. They came back and they saw God. God gave them a very natural direction, a very simple natural direction that didn't even seem logical. They followed that natural direction. God added his super to that natural and it brought deliverance, and the end ended up being even better than they first anticipated. They would have settled with just having some water.
Right.
Not only did they all survive and they were well fed, they ended up being victorious over the whole thing.
So both problems were solved.
With one
obedient act to God, both problems were solved. You know, it reminds me of a friend of mine. He was going to Bible college, and at the time he was a single dad. He had a 2-year-old, and God called him to Bible college, and he needed somewhere to live, and he needed a babysitter. And in the natural, it seemed impossible.
That situation didn't sound like it was going to work out.
It seemed impossible, but God told him, go and look for this apartment. So he went to look at this place to stay, and it wasn't just a place for him to stay. It turned out the family was living there. They were renting out their basement, and their 16-year-old daughter wanted a job as a babysitter. So even though he wasn't looking for both problems to be solved, he obeyed God.
He was solved.
He obeyed God by faith, went and did that seemingly natural thing to look at this accommodation opportunity, and God solved both problems in one hit. And he got the perfect babysitter for his child, and he got great accommodation, and he was able to go to Bible school and work at the same time. So we don't know what God can do with our natural obedience. We just have to step out and by faith be obedient, follow the word of God. And then you know what, God, like this instance here, God can actually solve both problems with one act of obedience.
It's a simple thing for him.
It's a simple thing for God.
You know, sometimes I think we miss the direction of the Lord because we don't realize that God wants to be involved in every part of our life. Mm. It's easy to overlook the leading of the Lord because we just haven't invited him in on the situation. You know, God is not just a God for crisis moments. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. So A, it's coming to know that God wants to be involved in every little detail of our life. But even more than that, sometimes people think, well, a picture of Christian maturity is being independent. You know, we were never meant to be independent as Christians. We were meant to be Christ dependent. You know, not only is God there for us in the little things and the big things, he wants us to come to him with the little things. This is part of us developing an intimate relationship with our King. And as Ashley started out, renewing our mind, being transformed, but not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen.
It's powerful. Amen. Praise God. We're out of time, but we want to pray for you before we let you go. Father God, I thank you for everyone listening and watching this program. I thank you, Lord, you have plans for them to prosper and plans for them to be in health. And I thank you, Lord, that you give us direction.
Yeah.
You show us what to do. And I thank
you,
Lord.
We can hear you.
We can hear your voice, and we're being obedient to taking those steps of faith. However it looks in the natural, Lord, we are committed to following you. I thank you, Lord, you only have good for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise be. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for being with us today. We'll be back real soon. And until next time, remember, don't just live a normal life. Go out and live the abundant life.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com. Download your free copy of Ashley and Carly's teaching notes at our website, TerraDesMinistries.com. Coming up next on the Abundant Life program.
Our human instinct is we like things comfortable and safe, and we like familiar. We don't like something that's different and change. And you know, that's a lot of walking in faith is we have to, you know what, trust the word of God, trust what God's told us, and step out.
Join us next time for the Abundant Life program with Ashley and Carly Terrades.